Glory be to God. Before you sit down, please stand up again. I want you to help me to start this preaching session in a very powerful way. By telling your neighbor, this afternoon is designed for you. This afternoon is your meeting. Just tell them Jesus is going to touch you. And then you give them a big hug. Just tell them this is your afternoon. And you give them a big hug. Give them a big hug. Glory be to God. Please take your seat. I am so blessed by knowing that this is two churches standing together. And I do not know Pastor Eric as well as I know Pastor Fernando. But when I met Pastor Eric, I had no doubt that he was carrying the presence of God. And I want to prophesy to you, Pastor Eric. And you don't need to translate it. But God is saying unto you that I have chosen you and ordained you. And I have raised you up for an hour like this. I have chosen you to glorify my name. I have had you under the shadow of my hand. You have seen me use you, and you have experienced my glory and my presence. But I say unto you that you have only been moving in the first part of what I ordained you to do. God says unto you that now is the season ahead of you, by where I will open the fullness of my grace. And you will start moving under the power of the Holy Spirit. God says unto you, you will no longer preach a message. You will become the message. You will no longer communicate a message. You will demonstrate a message. Don't move anywhere, please. When we prophesy, have respect of the Holy Spirit. Okay, bevæger ingen steder, når vi profeterer. It's God. Sit down, be quiet, and shut up. Altså, Gud bevæger sig. Hvis I bevæger jer, så kommer jeg ud af salvesen. You need to, altså, I behøver at have Guds frygt. Okay? Okay? Er du sind, Pastor? Nej. Men hans navn er Helligånden. Hellig. Oh, okay. We'll come back. I just gave them a lesson. So, are you ready? Okay. So God is saying unto you that he will make you a demonstration. He will reveal unto you his word in such a way that it comes out of you like power. God says to you, it's going to be unto you as it was to Peter in the house of Cornelius. It says that even as Peter spoke, the Holy Spirit felt on everyone who listened to the word. God says unto you that that is where he is going to take you. The glory and the presence of the Almighty God is going to come upon you. And you will move into the fullness of his grace. Everything unto now has just been a training course. He has been keeping you in the hiding place. But God says unto you now that he will bring you out in the open. He will glorify his name, and you will see nations open. You will see continents open. You will see revival in your church. It's going to spread not only to the ones you minister to, but this revival fire will move with you everywhere you go, says God, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, for those of you who was told not to move, don't be shocked. But prophets are difficult to handle. For those of you who was told to sit and don't walk.
Yeah. så ha respekt og ærefrykt for budskapet som bringer straff, at man ikke beveger seg fram og tilbake, for at den som står I budskapet gjerne fokusert og kobler opp på det som Gud sier der og da, og da på en måte bevegelse noe av det som skaper en forstyrrelse, og det For det her ikke noe sånn automatisk, det ikke sånn at du åpner munnen og taler Gud. Det her på en måte noe som Gud gir som inntrykk, og så skal du formidle dette videre.
So we are not angry at any of you. No. Please don't feel shameful. No. We love you and we respect you. But we want the Holy Spirit's presence to overwhelm us. The reason why he appeared on Jesus like a dove is because he's easy to scare. So make an environment by where it's easy for him to flow in the Holy Spirit. Can you tell your neighbor, Pastor Jens loves you more than you understand? Tell your neighbor that. Yes, and this brother, don't feel sorry. Just be happy. Yeah. Okay. So I want to appreciate this church and the church which Eric represents. And I think that God is about to set you up in this. Area. For a breakthrough far greater than you can imagine. You see, if you are sensitive to the Holy Spirit, you will be aware that there is a move of God in this place. And that's why the Bible says, do not despise the small beginning. Something beyond our imagination is about to manifest in this city and in this area. I believe that people will start coming from all over Norway. To see what God is doing through you by His grace. So I am very, very happy that I was allowed to come before it broke out. You see, prophets. You say, Pastor Jens, are you a prophet? I don't think anything about myself. But yes. Prophets are the mouthpiece of God. And God lets prophets to speak out his purposes. So he can perform it. So that's why I'm here. It is to declare over this area of Norway what God is about to do. It is so you can tune in, having in focus what Jesus has on his heart. My beloved friend, this is your moment and your hour. God is going to pour out his presence and his glory. And he's going to touch you in a marvelous way. He's going to touch you in a marvelous way. Listen to me carefully. People are going to come from all over Norway. From all over Scandinavia. Even from Europe. To see what God is doing in this city. The Bible says what no eyes have seen. What no ears have heard, what has come to the heart of any man, has God prepared for those who loves him. So we are about to see Jesus being glorified. It's all about him. And he is the only one we will love and glorify. He is the Lord and our Savior. Now, how many were here last night? You see, my beloved friend, I was sharing with you how I stood in an outpouring for 8 months in the city of Elmhult. And there was a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. People came there from all over Scandinavia. I saw a vision. And I saw myself running with a torch. And then I saw a gigantic fire. And I saw myself running with my torch. And I threw my torch into this fire. And suddenly I saw hundreds, and it became thousands, which also came with their torch. And they all threw it into this fire. I want you to know that revival does not belong to anybody. It is not just for one or two persons. Revival belongs to the body of Christ. And we are going to see the church on fire. God is going to touch Methodists, Baptists, Lutherans, Pentecostals, whoever or whatever name you have. God is going to turn his church back to the first love. So when I saw this vision, I understood that I need to connect to the body of Christ all over Europe. And within the next month, God let me meet pastors from most of the European nations. And out of that, we created a fellowship called Mission to Europe. And it's not a denomination. It's not a message and a doctrine. It is a fellowship by where pastors, preachers, and churches unite under the same passion. We do not fight one another any longer. We are not trying to emphasize our disagreements. But we are all full of passion for souls. We all want to see Europe on fire. And we believe that this is the hour and the moment for the church to receive a move of God. So we are standing in a fellowship. And we are going from city to city. We have been in Berlin. We have been in Frankfurt. We have been in Hanover. We have been in, I think 15 to 20 German cities. We have been in United Kingdom, Norway, Sweden, Denmark, Finland. We have been down to Austria and Switzerland. We have people who went to Spain and Italy. And we are experience the same outpouring everywhere we go. So I want to ask you if you could prayerfully consider if God speaks to you. Now, if he doesn't, then just let it be. But if you let God speak to you, I would be very, very honored if some of you would go out and take one of these brochures and become a partner with Mission to Europe. And you just do that by filling out this one here. And you can either send it by post or you can give it to me tonight. Now, I'm not asking for your money. I'm asking you for standing in faith with us. The Bible says one beat 1,000. But two beats 10,000. That's not logical. It should have said one beat 1,000 and two beat 2,000. But the Bible says that whatever two or three agree about shall be given to us. And I think it's time for us to see God give us Norway and Scandinavia. And that's why I appeal for you to come in into a fellowship of standing together with us. I need your prayers. Europe need your prayers. We need to stand together under the banner of revival. So if God speaks to you, take this one and you can fill it out and give it to me, or you can post it. And we will then start working together for revival. You do not connect to Jens Garnfeld. You connect to thousands of Christians who have the same passion. And out of that, we have also decided to do leadership conferences. And we have them in Germany, we have them in Switzerland, we have them many places. But this coming May, we have a huge leader conference in Copenhagen. And it's from the 3rd to the 1st. The 1st to the 3rd. Whoa. And it is not KBC, the church I'm pastoring, who is the host. It is Mission to Europe. And you will meet many, many leaders and pastors, both young people and middle-aged. Business people. Who has the same passion as you. Who says, God, this is the hour and the moment for Europe to see revival. So if you have a longing to meet others who have the same mind of you, please come. Now, I normally do not like to inform about anything. So I'm not enjoying myself too much. But information can be important. So I hope you bear with me. Now, in KBC, that's Copenhagen Bible Training Center. We have a full-time Bible school. And it has been going on now for 28 years. And we have had more than 1,000 students passing. And many, many Norwegians. Many Swedish students. And if you have a longing to come into an environment of revival, if you know that's your destiny, to be trained to flow in revival fire, then this school is for you. If you're lazy and you don't have any passion, I can recommend some other schools. If you think I need to come to find my spouse, I can recommend many good Norwegian schools. If you don't love Jesus, there is also other good schools. This is not for everyone. But this is for those of you who have an awareness that I am going to allow Jesus to shake Europe through me. And this year we also were able to open student apartments. So if God speaks to you, we will love you in Copenhagen in such a way. And we will send you back to your church. We don't keep any students. We make a deal. If you come, you go home. Okay. But if God speaks to you, you are warmly welcome. Okay, let us pray. Father, tonight, we open up our heart to glorify your name. Sweet, wonderful Holy Spirit, let the presence of Jesus manifest tonight. Let Jesus be glorified tonight. Jesus, it is you that we love, and no one else. We acknowledge your presence. Father, anoint us again with fresh oil from heaven. Father, impart into us the power of the gospel, that we can do everything you have called us to do. In the wonderful name of Jesus, we worship you. Hallelujah. Now, if you were here last night, we looked at Jesus becoming a man. We all know he was God, but he undressed himself, his godly form, and became likewise a man. And as we looked at Jesus, we realized that he as a man could not do any miracles before the Holy Spirit came upon him. And that's why he said to his disciple, I have tried it without the Holy Spirit, and my conclusion is, don't do anything. Don't go anywhere. Don't start anything before the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, if you know anything about the Holy Spirit, then you will agree with me that being full of the Holy Spirit is not a one-time experience. It shouldn't be a testimony you have that back in 1972, behind Frikirken I Halden. Now you know that preacher. Yeah. I mean, it's marvelous behind any free church. But your testimony should be, I was baptized with the Holy Spirit there and that. But I was also full this morning. And as I wake up tomorrow, I'll be full again. The Bible says in Norwegian, Lord, dere fylle er anden. Yes. So it's an ongoing process. Don't be satisfied with a one-time experience. Can you remember when God rejected Saul? I want to read a very interesting scripture for you. That is after Saul turning away from serving God. Then God speaks to the prophet. And this is 1 Samuel chapter 16. Now the Lord said to Samuel, how long will you mourn for Saul? See, I have rejected him from reigning over Israel. Fill your horn with oil and go. Now God is saying unto Norway that your time and your season is about to change. The Holy Spirit says to the body of Christ that you should no longer mourn over lost seasons. The Spirit of God says to you that it is not time to feel sorry of what you had. and what you lost. God is saying unto you, it is time for you to fill your horn with oil. God is about to anoint his church for a new season. God says to you, do not feel sorry over things which did not come to pass, over movements which just ran out between our hands. He says, don't mourn any longer, because God is about to anoint you with fresh oil. God is about to anoint this nation again with an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. One of the greatest awakenings Norway have seen is in its beginning. It won't come one day. It is already here. But the Bible says, do not despise small beginnings. So my beloved friend, God has prepared you for an hour like this. He's not looking for perfect people, because then he can't find anybody. But he's looking for humble people. Humble. Who love Jesus with all their heart and all their power and all their strength. People like you. Can you tell your neighbor he's preaching about you and me? Yeah, we are the one who loves Jesus. We are sold out for him. And he wants to fill us again with fresh oil from heaven. Norway, this is your hour and moment for revival. Norway, I am prophesying to you. This is your hour. This is your moment for revival. God is going to touch you again. And the body of Christ will no longer have their greatness behind them. Oh, in the 50s, it was marvelous. At the days of Arl Iversen, it was wonderful. At the days of Arl Iversen, days of Sandsdale. Oh, whoever you refer to. It was wonderful, yes. But it will never come back, because it's behind us. But God is about to touch you and use you and anoint you. So my message has a title tonight. You have found out I said tonight many times. It means we will move into the early night. No, don't be nervous. So God is going to touch you in such a way that you will come on fire again. But to understand how to flow in this anointing, I have titled this message, Release It. Release It. Release It. Peter and John walked up to the beautiful gate. And this paralyzed man, and he got his eyes on them. They must have looked like they had money, because he was looking for money. Hundreds of people are passing. If you are a pro beggar, As if you are that, you know who to ask in the crowd. Yeah. So the Bible says he got his eyes on Peter and John. And the man says, alms for the poor. But Peter and John said, silver and gold do we not have. They are like us. We gave everything in the offering. It's silent now, huh? Yeah, yeah. Silver and gold do we not have. But such as we have. That doesn't sound Danish. Maybe it sounds Norwegian. But I have never heard any Danish preacher starting to look at a paralyzed man and say, look at me, such as I have. Two elders would carry that pastor out. No, we are so totally living in self-denial that I am nothing. And I have nothing. And I can do nothing. We can see that. So shut up. And start talking about Jesus. Because it's no longer you who live, but Christ living in you. And the Bible says that you can do all things through Christ Jesus. So don't talk about yourself. Talk about Jesus. Because for him all things are possible. How did this man get healed? When Peter and John released what they knew they had. They said, money is not our business. But such as we have, we give unto you in the name of Jesus Christ. Arise and walk. And the amazing thing is that they grabbed the man in the hand and pulled him up. And he jumped and danced. And the revival took a new level. Who healed this man? Of course, Jesus. But it was Peter and John that released it. I said it was Jesus that healed him. But Peter and John released it. You need to come into a releasing part of your life. Because God has called you to demonstrate his kingdom. And to understand that, you need to look at God's original plan in the book of Genesis. Because of time, I'm not reading all the scriptures. But I'm sure that both Pastor Eric and Pastor Fernando can walk you through these scriptures. But in Genesis 1:26, God says, let us create man in our image, in our likeness. And in our likeness. My friend, you were not created in the likeness of a monkey. He didn't take a monkey and said, let's make man in the image of a monkey. I'm sorry. If somebody says you are from the monkey, just smile at them and say, I can see you are, but I'm not. I am from heaven. God is my creator. And I'm not here to eat bananas. I'm here to revive Norway. Glory. Whoa. Of course, we do not say that with pride. But it's just reality. As he created man, the book of Psalms will tell you something amazing. And that is in Psalm Let me see what that is. That is Psalm 115, verse 16. There the Bible says that heaven is God's, but the earth he gave unto man. Have you ever asked yourself, who is Adam? You say, Pacienza, we know that. Okay, but let us just see one scripture in John in Luke chapter 3. And I will amaze you. I will surprise you by showing you chapter 3. And there is the family line of Jesus. And it starts by the Bible telling us about, let me see if my eyes finds it. Thank you, Father God. Yeah, here it comes. It starts by verse 23. And it says, now Jesus himself began his ministry about the year of 30, as supposed. And he was the son of Joseph, the son of Heli. Now we know he was not the son of Joseph. We know that God overshadowed Mary. But Joseph was his adoptive father. So when you then look down the whole family line, it says son of this, son of this, son of this, son of this. And then we come to verse 38. Are you ready to get a shock? It says son of Enoch. Elenos, yeah. Son of Seth. Son of Adam. Son of God. Hello? Adam, son of God. What is the meaning of Adam? In Hebrew it means man. So who was the first man? He was not a son of somebody being another man. Adam was born by God. The Bible says that God glorified him with his presence and put him over all the creation. He was not God, but he was born by God as God breathed his own life into him. That's what the Bible says. So before sin, God gave Adam the rulership of earth. But by sin, the devil deceived Adam and Eve. And he stripped Adam and Eve from their glory. Have you ever seen paintings from the Garden of Eden? Have you seen that painting artist paint them naked? And most Christians think that Adam and Eve was naked. Now remember, this is called paradise. The Garden of Eden. Paradise on earth. Created in the image of God. Excuse me for a second. Do you really think God walks around in heaven naked? Think. When that would mean that you, when you and I get to heaven, God forbid that. God is not naked. I can show you many scriptures saying that his garment fills the temple. When Jesus appeared to John in the book of Revelation, he was not naked. He had a garment to the feet. A golden belt. His voice was like the thunder. His eyes was like fire. He was not naked. When you get saved, he gives you the garment of salvation. And they will be pure white as you have never seen white. Adam and Eve was not naked as you suppose. They were covered by God's glory. I said they were dressed in the glory of God. But when the devil deceived them, he disarmed them. And they found themselves naked. That's why God asked them, who told you you were naked? You don't ask such a question if they were created naked. Listen carefully. The devil undressed their glory. God never created Lucifer to be a god. Yet the Bible says he became God of this world. How could he become something he was not? Only by taking from Adam what God gave him. The rulership on earth. My beloved friend, when Jesus died at the cross, when God resurrected him from the death, he says in Matthew 28, unto me is given all power. Not half of the power, not a third of the power, but all power in heaven and on earth. What the devil did to Adam, Jesus did the same to the devil. When the devil undressed Adam, Jesus took the devil and conquered death, took the keys of death, and he undressed the devil to nothing. The devil is defeated. I said the devil is defeated. So Jesus has all power in heaven and on earth. Now, open your Bible to Matthew chapter 16. Because there Jesus says something mind-bothering. He speaks to his disciples. And it's very classic. He says, who does men say that I am? 13 and forward. And they answer different answers. And then Peter says, you are the Son of the living God. Can you see? He says, you are what Adam was. Can you see that? Adam, son of God. But when he sinned, he lost God's presence. The Bible says Jesus is the second Adam or the last Adam. Mm-hmm. You are the Son of the living God. Jesus says, this has flesh and blood not revealed unto you. And see, I will build my church. The kingdom of hell shall not prevail against it. And I give unto you the keys of the kingdom. Whatever you lose shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you lose or bind in heaven, on earth shall be loosed or bound in heaven. Now wait 1 second. Because I grew up in this thinking as I preached to you last night that revival is a sovereign move of God. Please agree with me, it is. But there is another part to it. Let me read to you from Genesis chapter 2. And it will surprise you. I call this the extended explanation of creation. Verse 4. This is the history of heaven and earth when the Lord God created in the day of the Lord as he created heaven and earth. Before any plants of the field was on earth and before any herbs on the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain. And there was no man to till the ground. Did you see that? There was no plants, no trees, no herbs. All over the earth. Yet they were created. Because God says, let the earth bring forth trees, plants, and herbs. Earth cannot bring forth anything unless there is seed in it. So when God created trees, plants, and herbs, it came out of his mouth as seed upon the face of the earth. The Bible says they have not grown yet because it has not rained. Rain is a picture of the Holy Spirit. So there could be no growth, no breakthrough, no revival before water came down. But we have forgot to see that it also says there was no man to till the ground. Revival is done by two ingredients. It is God's sovereign move. And a man or a woman who believe that they can be a vessel and a mouthpiece. As much as it is God's sovereign move, it will never manifest before somebody voices that revival. Peter stood up at the day of Pentecost. And as he voiced the revival, thousands of souls got saved. It's not enough to be full of the Holy Spirit. You have to be full of faith. You have to be full of faith. You have to be full of faith. Trusting that Jesus can do it through you. It says about one of the revivalists in the book of Acts.
Barnabas. He was a good man, full of Holy Spirit and faith. What is faith? It is believing that what God says can be done. There was no plants, no trees, no herbs. Because it has not rained. And there was no man to work with it. I wish I was a better preacher, so I could in a better way explain to you that God needs you. God needs you. He cannot do it by himself. But you say he is the Almighty. Yes. But earth he gave unto man. That's why Jesus needed to be a man to win back earth. And it is still a divine law that earth has to be operated by man. Back to Jesus' statement. He says, I give you the keys of the kingdom. What do you bind? On earth. Not in heaven. On earth. Shall be bound in heaven. Not what you bind in heaven. That's God's business. Your business is earth. Whatever you bind on earth, or whatever you loose. So why don't we start loosing revival? Now, are there any of you who came here by a car? You have a car key? Okay, this lady has one. Somewhere. So help me God. Oh, thank you. Who was that? Yeah. Now this is a good car. This is a good car.
Yeah, I was thinking for the offering.
Yeah. So I just want to check something. Is this car registered in you and your family's name? Mm-hmm. So it's yours. Have you paid the insurance? Good. Are there petrol in it? Diesel, yes. Good. Now, can you all testify with me that this car is hers? It's in her name. It's insured. And there's diesel in it. Now, you are the most kind woman I've ever met. Because you have paid everything. But now you have given me the authority. She pays everything. But now she cannot use it. Because I have the key. If you ask her to give you a ride, she cannot do it. You have to ask me. Because I have the key. Jesus says, I give you the key. He doesn't have it any longer. The key is not in heaven. The key is in the church. Whatever two and three of us agree about, in my name shall be given. So why are we calling on heaven? Oh God, open up revival. Oh God, send revival. God scratches himself in the hair. He says, Jesus, did they misunderstand us? Did they not understand your language? You should have been speaking to them in German, maybe, so they could understand. How can they ask me to open when I don't have the key? Hello, Norway. Hello, Norway. Hello, Norway.
I better give it back to you.
so God wants to teach you how to flow in revival. Now, we all know at the day of Pentecost, there was the fulfillment of Joel. It's a, I love the English Bible because it's so much more dramatic than my boring Danish language. På den står der, der kom et åndepust. Yeah. But in the English, all suddenly, there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. That is something else. And the Danish theologians, we should pray for them. I mean, the appearance of the Holy Spirit was so mighty that everybody in Jerusalem heard about it. And tongues of fire came and set on everyone. Now, we have made that the model of pure revival. And that's what we expect. That's what we think should happen. And I agree that God is God. But let me give you a shock. When Cornelius had an angelic visitation, we all know that the Bible says that Cornelius was asked to get Peter. If revival is a sovereign move of God, why did God not give Cornelius another Pentecost experience? Why didn't a mighty wind blow through Cornelius' house? Why didn't tongues of fire come on them? Why did he have to get Peter? Because at the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down from heaven. And from that day, he has been on earth. He is no longer in heaven. Jesus and him changed the seat. He says, Jesus, I go to the Father. And I send you the Holy Spirit. He is here. So why did Peter need to come? Because Peter was a carrier and a messenger. That's revival. The moment Peter walked into Cornelius' house, the Bible says that it happened as he spoke. That the Holy Spirit came upon everyone. And they were all full of the Holy Spirit. Not three praying aunts. Not three, as I could say, bønnetænder. Not two excited elders. Ikke to begejstrede ældste. But they were all full. All. I am disturbed when I come to Pentecostal church and not all are full. It disturbs me. You should maybe change your name to Baptist. If you are Pentecost, it sounds like this. Kimayando loco lono mostele colono bostalana mando ora macahani amaso loco e belene vescia cana mando e bolono mostele chelendo alla mandi varia sala colono e balana masta e bori macona mahando. That's the sound of Pentecost. If you don't have that sound, then don't give false declaration of your product. Come to the Pentecostal church and become a Baptist. Now, there is nothing wrong with Baptists. Please do not misunderstand me. They are our brothers and sisters. We love them. They are in fellowship with us. They are marvelous people. But they don't speak in tongues. So if you don't speak in tongues, then just call yourself Baptist. Because here we baptize people. Oh, you provoke us. I know. By purpose I provoke you. You have to become so hungry that you are not satisfied if you are not full of the Holy Spirit. You have to say, God, fill me. I was in the city of Linköping in Sweden. A wonderful place. Levi Petrus started his pastoral ministry there. So that is really Pentecost, Pentecost. Yeah, it's pure Pentecost. Now, we have a tremendous meeting like tonight. And in the end of the meeting, an 85 or 86-year-old man walked up to me. And he spoke very slowly with a shaking voice. And he said in Swedish, "Tror du att jag kan bli fylld med den heliga ande?" I said to him, "Are you born again?" He said, "Yes." I said, "What Baptist church do you belong to?" He said, "No. No, I'm a member of the Pentecostal church." I said, "Oh, only for a couple of days?" "No, no. No, I've been seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit for 60 years. I said, "What? Send your pastor to me. I need to talk to him." I said, "My friend, God will fill you tonight. Because if we who are evil can give our children good gifts, how much more? How much more should God not give the Holy Spirit to those who ask?" So this wonderful 86-year-old Baptist calling himself a Pentecost. I said, "Yeah, okay. We will leave that." I said, "Lift your hands." I said to the man. Yes. He could only lift it like this. He was old. I said, "Are you ready?" He said, "Remember, I've been waiting 60 years. I said, "You are a marvelous Christian. But now God is going to give it to you." I said, "Sweet, wonderful Holy Spirit, 60 years is too long for something you can receive now. Fill him." Before I said amen, this old man, he started to shake like a flunder. And suddenly, he says, "Var det dette? And he started, "Kimoro bandilo colono mosele de bella mana maso." And I just took off. Yeah, I took off. And I started to jump. I danced 60 years for something which I hear.
So revival in Cornelius' house was released by Peter. Why was God using Peter? Because Jesus said, I give that key to the church. Now you cannot release something if it's not given. So I cannot just walk around and release revival if God has not released it. We cannot manipulate God and twist his arm. But have we forgotten that Peter said, today this scripture is fulfilled. Today.
Do you know the revival in Samaria? Philip was anointed as an evangelist. He comes down there and preaches in Acts chapter 8. And they were all astonished about the signs and the wonders. And in the Jerusalem church, they heard about Samaria receiving the gospel.
But let me surprise you. There was no outpouring of the Holy Spirit.
Nobody got full of the Holy Spirit. So what was it? It was a strong evangelistic breakthrough. Signs and wonders and salvations. But old-fashioned revival is God pouring out his Spirit. Then it says Peter and John came down. And look in the Bible in verse 14. And it says they came down.
I have to find that quick here now. 8:14.
Now when the apostle heard that in Jerusalem, heard that Samaria has received the word of God, they sent Peter and John. Who, when they came down, prayed for them that they may receive the Holy Spirit, for as yet it has not fallen on any one of them.
Can you see that? They were saved. They had many healing miracles. But there was no outpouring. Look how it happened. Verse 18. No, excuse me, 17. And they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Hello? Shouldn't it be a mighty rushing wind? Shouldn't the building shake? Shouldn't there be tongues of fire? This cannot be an outpouring. If it is given by two apostles laying hands on somebody. My beloved friend, the outpouring in Samaria was a sovereign move of God. But it was released by Peter and John. I said it was a sovereign move of God. Only Jesus could be glorified. The honor could not go to any man. Yet it didn't come down from heaven. It was released by laying on hands. The Bible says in John chapter 7, from your inner man shall flow rivers. Rivers, rivers, rivers. In Denmark, we don't have rivers. The biggest we have, we called it O. It's like from here to the curtain.
a small stream. So I did not understand what he talked about. Until Ove Karlsson, a Pentecostal preacher, he took me to Umeå. And we had revival there. And we are passing a delta. And he says, look out of the window, patients. This is the Umeå River. I said, what? That's not a river. It's a fjord. He said, no, 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 no. No, a fjord is something else. No, this is a river. I shouted at the top of my lungs. Stop the car. And the driver hit the brake. They thought I was about to die. But I was not dying. I was not dying. I jumped out of the car. I said, oh, glory. I just understood what is flowing on the inside of me. I have only seen this small O. But now I saw a river. Out of your inner man. Out of your inner man. Out of your inner man. Shall flow. Shall flow. Shall flow. A river. Not this small stream. Oh my goodness. So how did the revival in Samaria break out? You see, they worked together. But the outpouring was released by Peter and John. Look at the second largest revival in the book of Acts. My message is release it. Paul comes down to Ephesus. And he meets a group of people. And in verse 2, there are not more than, I don't know, a few disciples. And then he said, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? The English says, did you receive? Can you see, did you receive? Did you receive? Tog dere imot. Did you receive? Receiving is something you take now. He says, did you receive? You cannot receive if it's not given. So he cannot ask this question if it was not given. When was it given? Since the day of Pentecost. Since the day of Pentecost. They said, we have not even heard about the Holy Spirit. I think this is the forefathers of the Danish nation. We have not even heard about the Holy Spirit. Don't tell the Danes. Then he asked them about their baptism. And he baptized them in the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus represents the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So don't get confused on that. We baptize people in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Then it says, when they were baptized, verse 6, and then Paul laid hands on them, and the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke in tongues and prophesied. Now, wait a moment. Shouldn't there be a sound of a mighty rushing wind? Shouldn't the building shake? Shouldn't there be angels flying in the room? Where are the tongues of fire? This is the second largest revival in the book of Acts. How did it start? By Paul laying hands on them.
Do you know that the anointing can be transferred?
He says to Timothy, stir up the gift of the Spirit you receive by laying on hands. I believe that revival can be like in Cornelius' house. That nobody is laid hands on. But God just take over the atmosphere. But you see that in some of the revivals, they released it by laying hands on them.
Why did they do that? Because they knew they had the key. So they knew that if we lay hands on them, then the Holy Spirit will come upon them. This revival here took off. And it grew until the whole region of small Asia heard the gospel.
It became so strong that they took pieces of clothes and belts. And when they put it at the body of the sick people, it says that the demons came out of them and they were healed. I like that. I like that. In the outpouring in Sweden, the one I have referred to, I was preaching in a city. And as I was at the top of my lungs,
you understand I'm a shouty preacher. Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, skrik is not church. John shouted in the desert. Han skreg ikke. Nej. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Do you shout when you are pastoring your church in KBC? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. No. No. No, I'm walking with them. I'm their shepherd. But here I only have two shots. So I need to shoot them off. There's a lot of energy behind these two shots. So I'm preaching in this revival. A lady walks up to me as I preach. The ushers couldn't stop her. So I said, what do you want? She says, give me your belt. I said, what? It's never happened to me. She says, give me your belt. I said, what? Yes, give me your belt. I mean, she had fire in her eyes. So I thought, if I don't give it to her, she'll kill me. I said, why do you want my belt? She says, I have a cancer tumor under my eye. And the doctors are going to take out my eye. But I just have this childish faith that as God used Paul in Ephesus, He can use you in this meeting. So I gave her my belt. And I said, give it back to me when you're healed. I like my belt. Otherwise, it can be very expensive. If everybody takes what you have. Three weeks later, this lady calls me. Shouting so I have to have my phone out like this. She says, Pastor Jens, You're not going to believe it. I just walked out of the hospital in Gothenburg. Four doctors was examining me. And they could not find cancer. It was gone. Glory. You see, Jesus is wonderful. So how was revival released after the day of Pentecost? By people understanding they had the key. I'm about to wind up my message. Yes, that's a good thing, way to say it. Look, I have two scriptures for you left, then I'm done. By the grace of God. So, are you ready to be very surprised? Paul writes to a church he has not been present in before. The Church of Rome. He has not been there physically. But he writes the letter of Romans. And look at verse 11, for, what he says. Chapter 1, verse 11. And he says, "For I am longing to see you, that I, he doesn't say God, he says, for that I may impart to you some spiritual gift that you may be established." Did you see that? Now in Denmark we call that pride. But the Bible called this revival. Do you have the law of Yanta? You have the law of
Yanta. We adopted.
What has Yanta done to us? You are not better than me. You can do nothing more than me. You'll never become bigger than me. And a lot of other nonsense. Forgive me for saying something strong. But to hell the Yanta! I said, to hell with Yanta. I said, to hell with Yanta. I did not swear. I just say where Yanta should go. Yes. It's not from heaven. Belongs to hell. Paul says, I am longing to see you. It's not pride. Oh, this must be all yours. It's not pride. He doesn't look down at them. He don't think he's the king. But he is full of faith. We don't have time to look to this scripture. But in Romans 12:6, it says, prophesy according to your proportion of faith. That is weird. Because, I mean, I'm a Pentecost. And I've been taught that the gift of the Spirit is as the Spirit inspires. So what in the whole world has faith to do with it? Isn't it the Holy Spirit who just inspires you? And you express that under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit? So why does Romans 12:6 say, prophesy according to your faith? Now what is faith? It is trust in God. The level of the expression of the Holy Spirit. Is released by your faith. Paul says, I'm longing to see you. Can you hear that he's full of faith? He believes this is what Jesus will do if I can only get to you. He doesn't glorify himself, but he just trusts Jesus in such a marvelous way that if I can get to you, then I can impart into you spiritual gifts.
Isn't it God who gives the gift?
It is. But Timothy was told to stir up the gift he received by laying on hands. It is God giving it. But it is man releasing it. Did you get hold of that? It is only God who can be glorified. We do not worship the vessel. We worship the giver. And that is God. But there was no plans because it has not rained and no man to work with it. Revival takes God and man, or God and woman. I hope I'm disturbing your theology. Because you got so comfortable being the chairman of the waiting club. And you sing Miriam's song. Og I skal være stille, stille, for Herren skal kæmpe for Ida. What a revival song. Do nothing. Because it's God who has to do it. What if he has done it already? And he's looking at you on your key. All heaven is behind you. They are just waiting for you to open it up so they can come through. I am longing to see you, that I may impart into you. Revival can be imparted. I said revival can be imparted. På dansk vil jeg sige overført. It can be imparted. Such as I have, Peter and John said. We give unto you. And the lame man was healed by Jesus. But Peter and John released it. The revival in Samaria was given by Jesus, but released by the evangelist and the apostles. What are we waiting for? Has Jesus not given us the key? He says, what we lose on earth, don't wait for heaven, because heaven is waiting for you. I mean, I'm having my own revival up here. I have fire in every fiber of my body. I'm just behaving because you're quiet. Be unto the Romans as Romans and Norwegians as Norwegians. You have to understand, I have had revival now for 4.5 years. It explodes everywhere I go. Sometimes there is 80,000 people in my meetings. And sometimes there's 10.
But it doesn't matter. I am just looking for somebody hungry enough so I can impart it. Glory.
Please agree with me that Paul is not full of pride. You and I are not full of pride. We are nothing. And Jesus is everything. But if you are a vessel, you know what you are carrying. This glass here is a vessel. You cannot tell this glass that it doesn't have water in it. I know it's plastic, I know that. But you cannot say to this glass, it doesn't have water. We don't worship the glass, but we enjoy the water. You cannot tell me I don't carry revival. It's too late for you. Because I know what I carry. It flows out of me.
I said it's too late for you to tell me that Jesus cannot revive Scandinavia. Because I see that fire explode everywhere I go.
If there's just hungry hearts. Jesus could not do anything in Nazareth because of their doubt. So I avoid the doubters. I send some other preachers to doubt with them. I hope you can take my humor. At least in Denmark we think it's funny. I promised you the last scripture. Let's turn to Romans 15. Now Paul is addressing them again in verse 29. But I know that is faith. Faith is I know. Knowing the promises of God. That is faith. Faith is knowing the will of God. Paul says, I know that when I come to you, I shall come with the fullness of the blessing of the gospel of Christ. Now that must be pride. I mean, Paul, take it easy. You cannot say that you come with a fullness. It's only Jesus who has the fullness. So, Paul, did you eat too much pizza? I mean, did you not drink enough water? What are you meaning? That I know that when I come with the fullness of the grace of the glory of the gospel. My friend, from your inner man shall flow of living water. So where is the thing we are waiting for? If you are born again and spirit filled, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And where two and three are gathered in His name, He is present. So if you and I are together and we are born again, our body is the temple. And Jesus is here with His fullness. How are we going to release it? By faith. Now, Liv, please come up here. Yes, you. Come. I want to show you something. Stand right here. I need a strong usher. I need... Just stop there. Stop. Would it be okay if the Holy Spirit comes upon you? I'm not going to touch you, but fire will come on you. What was that? I have a question to you now. Why did she not fall off the chair when she was sitting down there? Because nothing was on her. But when I used my faith, trusting that Jesus is here, I released it. You said, what? Exactly. Why should I lay hands on you if I did not believe anything should happen? That's a waste of time. And you will be more bold-haired. Because I would shake it off. How many have we not shook? We have put empty hands on empty heads. Because we don't understand faith. Peter and John was not pride. But they looked at this man and they say, silver and gold do I not have, but such as I have. Paul says, when I come to you, I come with the fullness. I like Paul. Yes, he's my type. Why should we not have revival in Norway when we have the key? Why should we not release it? Yeah, go and have your revival. That's the Holy Spirit. Just fill her now, Jesus. This youth leader, she's getting drunk. Yeah, not on whiskey, but the Holy Spirit is touching her. Start receiving yourself. Because the Holy Spirit is here. I cannot give it to you if you don't want to receive it. I mean, it's not a trick. It's not a magic. I'm just a vessel. He is the water. You have to drink. You don't get it from me. You get it from Jesus. I mean, this glass, you don't get full by the glass. But the water can fill you. This is just plastic. So who wants to worship the vessel? It's just the carrier. It will never make you proud. Because you know you are nothing. But you trust Jesus with all your heart. Yeah, you probably need to walk up here. I know it'll be difficult for you. Some usher can help her. You see, my friend, God is going to give you revival. I see God moving you from explaining it to demonstrating it. He will give you revival in schools and gymnasiums. He will give it to you in sport clubs. He will give it to you wherever there is young people. Revival fire will come upon you. And you will carry this presence. And the atmosphere will change wherever you go. And the more bold you become, the stronger the flow will be. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Father God, I give you praise. Are there anybody who says, Pastor Jens, I'm hungry enough to receive it right now? You, come and stand here. Stand there. I saw that movement. That was what you want. But you are a bit shy, aren't you? Yes. He fills you now. There it is. Fire! Thank you, Jesus. My friend, do not misunderstand what I say. It is not me, but I just trust Jesus. I just believe in Jesus. That what he says he will do, he is doing. They brought a dead child to me in the city of Mombasa. It was clothes wrapped in like this. I was preaching like tonight. I have raised one person before this miracle. So I had an experience of how to listen to the Holy Spirit. When this woman put this thing in my arms, I said, what is it? She says, it's my child. I said, what? I opened it. And honestly, it looked horrifying. I said, what is it? She says, it has been dead several days. Mombasa is 35 degrees. It did not look good. Mm-hmm. I said, why didn't you bury it? Are you sure you want to come up? It's not advisable. Maybe you should just enjoy it down there. I said, why did you not bury her? She said, I knew you were going to come. Have you ever heard a Scandinavian say that to a priest, a preacher? No. We backslander and criticize the preacher until they can't move. The anointing you do not honor cannot bless you. It's carried by a vessel. But if you criticize that vessel, the vessel cannot release it. We are shutting down revival instead of embracing revival. Hello? I have the child in my arms. Tears are running my face. And I said, Jesus, can you allow me to raise this child? You see, I know I have the authority to do it. You have that too. Because he said, in my name you shall raise dead people. But Jesus did not do anything unless the Father spoke. So I do not do anything even if I know I have the authority. Unless Jesus says, do it. That's called being submissive. Mm-hmm. So I said, Jesus, would you allow me? On the inside of me, it was like a volcano explosion. All fear left me. And faith took over my inner man. The Holy Spirit's presence felt me. And I knew that I knew that I knew that Jesus is going to do a miracle. So I hold this child and I said, Heavenly Father, on behalf of the authority you have given me, I say in the name of Jesus Christ, I command this life to come back. Why did you shout? To overcome my voice of doubt. Now you know why I shout. Some of you should start shouting too. As I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, you may sit if that's more comfortable for you. If that's what you want. Yeah. In the moment I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, the dead body started to shake. And within seconds, the child cries with a loud voice. And it is revived. How was that miracle manifested? It was done by Jesus. He is the only one who can be glorified. But I released it. Did you get that? I did not do it. Jesus did it. But I released it. There was no rain and no man to work with the ground. Revival takes two ingredients, my friend. God's sovereignty and your faith. Do you know Rodney Howard Brown? He's a very dear friend of mine. I have had the privilege to minister in his place. And I asked him one evening, now, Rodney, tell me, why do you have a greater breakthrough than I have? You know, that's a weird question, but when you are friends, you can ask anything. He smiled at me. He said, Jens, you preach better than me. You carry the same presence. But you haven't been taught how to release it by faith yet. I knew exactly what he meant. I didn't feel like a lesser Christian. I got more hunger. I said, Jesus, teach me the releasing part. No, I think we should give it to you too. Because just because he was faster than you doesn't mean you can't get it. Are you ready? Now remember, it's not for an experience he touches you. It is for a purpose. You will never ever be the same again. When this fire touches you, he empowers you to fulfill destiny. What you have been waiting for, what you have been waiting for, is now going to be released by that power of the Holy Spirit. Are you ready? He touches you now. There it is. Sweet, wonderful Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. It came out of me. But it was not me. Can you see that balance? You can only glorify Jesus. But you have to believe that he is the same today, yesterday, and forever. That's the That's why I believe Pastor Fernando and Pastor Eric. Leva, are you sure you want to come up? She's a hungry woman. Yes. They are telling us that we will only see a move among young people. But I find it much easier for elderly people to receive the Holy Spirit than it is for young people. Because they know what it is. The young generation only know this dance. Now that's called Hillsong. It's not called Holy Spirit. I have nothing against Hillsong. We jump in our own church. But we need the Holy Spirit. Father God, you see these precious, precious people. It's all over you, isn't it? Oh, that fire is touching you. Can you feel that glory on you? That's what happened when you get baptized. He says, be baptized and then filled with the Holy Spirit. Come up here, sweetheart. Don't be afraid. Now don't touch her. Because then it goes into you. And you catch her. Wonderful Holy Spirit. Fill her with fire. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, wonderful Jesus. I am so sorry that I have to go home. I wish I could stay a month. Because then Norway would not be the same. But understand that you have the same Holy Spirit as I do. God has no respect of persons. He's just looking for somebody who's hungry enough. And then start believing it. Father God, let revival touch Norway again. This wonderful nation, it has sent hundreds, maybe thousands of missionaries to the four corners of the earth. Father, at the days of Barad and other revivalists, Norway was on fire. Jesus, you have said you want to pour out your spirit on all generation. Here we are in our generation. Jesus, we receive it in its full portion. Not only to be a strong meeting, but to a move of the Holy Spirit in the whole nation of Norway. Fill your church. Fill the body of Christ. Put us on fire again. Put us on fire again. Now, my beloved friend, I want to lay hands on every hungry person tonight. But then I can't prophesy. Yeah, I have time, but it's another anointing. If I give myself to the prophetic anointing, then my faith goes to hearing for you. No, hearing. Yeah, my faith receives words. But then the flow of revival becomes lesser.
alltså flyten ved salvelsen till att beröra dig mindre.
So tonight I want to release fire.
Så jag önskar att förlösa eld ikväll.
I know all of you want a prophetic word. But please walk up here tonight. Don't expect a word. Expect the fire of the Holy Spirit. And it will be given to you. Let us stand up together. Let us prepare our hearts to receive.